Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition.
I love this reaction show.
For the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
Yo, 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 what's going on, boys and girls? It is he, the human podcast machine. My name is Taz, and thank you all for downloading this edition of the show, this Money in the Bank reaction. Going to come at you here with some thoughts and opinions about some things on the show. You know, and also in this edition, coming back with a little Taz tale for you a little later on in this show. So Taz Tales is back. Gonna talk, well, I'm not gonna tell you one thing. Just say this is what Taz says. It's gonna be real simple. Tell you one last name, and you'll figure it all out. Adam Lee. And here we go. So, talking about Money in the Bank, I enjoyed the show, the second half of the show. The first half of the show, I thought was a little rough. Some of the stuff, some of the finishes and stuff like that. But everybody worked hard as usual. Great crowd in Columbus, Ohio. They started the show off, obviously, with a tribute of all the talent and everybody in the company on the stage in the arena. And basically a moment of silence. You know, I should say, I'm sorry, ring the bell 10 times for the memory of the great, late, great Dusty Rhodes. So it was a very touching moment. And then playing, Dusty's song when he's been in WWF, WWE. And everybody was clapping on the stage, and everybody in the arena was clapping, and they just faded to black with the announcers saying nothing. Very touching, emotional moment. Great job by the WWE by paying respects to a Hall of Fame legend, one of the greatest of all time, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. So, and then later on in the show, they did a video package, which I'll talk about later on. Again, paying respects towards Dusty. So the Money in the Bank, they kick it off with. What a way to kick it off, right? With the ladder match, with the case, you know, hanging above the ring with the seven dudes going at it. You know, Randy Orton, Neville, Kane, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, and Roman Reigns. So crowd was hot. Crowd was into this thing. I mean, it was definitely, you know, dangerous matchup, obviously, when you have all ladders involved and you have the prize hanging, you know, in the balance above the ring. With the contract in there to basically have a title shot anytime you want, whenever you want, for a year. So it's a great prize hanging above the ring. So it's dangerous because you get ladders involved, and they utilize the ladders, these seven guys. And, you know, some of the spots that jumped out to me was during the match was Roman Reigns with a powerbomb on the ladder that he put like a little bridge, I think on the second rope, on Kofi Kingston, to Kofi Kingston. And Kofi's back, man, his upper back really hit this ladder hard. And then, like, right after that, you know, Reigns powerbombed, I think, Neville on top of Kofi. So that was a pretty heavy-duty, nasty spot. I mean, the RKO, I mean, there was a lot of RKOs, which is great to see Randy Orton. And the RKO was, like, the big bump everybody loves, you know, because of all the vines and stuff like that online, which is just funny stuff. And Orton does that RKO. It's amazing. So... he hit a big one while Neville was coming off. He pulled Neville's foot, I believe, off the ladder. As Neville flew in midair coming down to the mat, he got caught with an RKO, and the place went crazy. It was big. Reigns hit a huge dive on top of everybody on the outside. I remember that. New Day comes out of nowhere, I guess, in support, obviously, of Kofi Kingston. And it was just a great moment where the New Day guys were on the apron, smashing an apron to get that cadence going. And everybody was saying, New Day sucks, you know, and all that stuff while Kofi was climbing. It was actually very cool. And then Reigns basically, he killed the New Day guys on the apron. So that was a pretty cool spot. I mean, I thought it was a good match. I mean, shocking when Bray Wyatt came out. That was a little surprising. I mean, it was a good moment for him to come out. I mean, it's a no DQ. The announcers covered that. And Reigns was about ready to win this bad boy, and Bray Wyatt screwed him hard. And who would have thunk it? Sheamus climbs up to the top of the ladder, and Neville tries to stop him. They go at it a little bit up there, and Sheamus grabs Neville by the hair and pries him back and drops him, and Sheamus is your Money in the Bank winner. So it's a big win for him. I didn't think he was going to win. I know they've been pushing him hard and building him and all that stuff, and he's a prototypical-looking guy that they want, and he's had a lot of success there. He's a big, strong dude, you know, Ireland guy, looks the part, all that stuff. I would have went a different route. Frankly, I think this would have been a really good spot, in my opinion, to have Neville win this thing. I thought that would have been just again, that's me armchair booking. But, you know, Sheamus, look, he's a hardworking guy. He cuts good promos. He's credible. He's, you know, he's been doing this a long time now, and he's had a lot of success. So, you know, you really can't throw a flag on it. So I'm not knocking Sheamus. I'm just giving you my opinion. Divas match. Girls worked hard. Nikki Bella and Paige, they worked very hard. Brie got involved on the outside. They did the, what do you call it, the Twins Magic gimmick. And Brie got, it was a small package, I believe. And then she gets pinned, so you think Paige won the match. She starts, I never seen the stuffed bra gimmick. This might have happened in business before, but she starts pulling out tissues out of a bra. Say, I'm not my sister. She's, you know, a little hair, you know, bigger in the chest area, I guess. And showing her tattoos that it's, look, she didn't pin, you know, Nikki. She pinned me, Brie. You know, I was confused. I got to be honest. I watched this thing. I was confused. And then it ends up that Nikki retains her championship by pinning, Paige. So it was just a very, it was a little fuzzy, the finish, in my opinion. I get a little crazy there with that, I think. And IC championship, Big Show Ryback, Miz is on commentary, and then this thing kind of was a little crazy, too. Another disqualification. Miz attacked both Ryback and the Big Show at the end of the thing, and there was a disqualification, you know. So, I mean, but the match that stole the show, let's be frank, was next. And it was that U.S. title match with Owens, Kevin Owens, the NXT champion, and John Cena, the United States champion. And I want to talk about this great match real quick, in a sec, I should say, but I want to talk real quick about my friends over at Score Big, man. Check this out, new sponsor, Score Big. You save on every ticket every day. Yeah, and that's basically, you go on there and you can check on any events, any games, anything you want, any type of seats you want. That you get seats and spots at events or games that you never think you could afford, and you kind of bid on the thing. It's pretty cool. I mean, you name a ticket price, you save up to 60% off that box office price, and the average customer basically saves 40% off the box office price. You could save up to 60%, though. Real simple the way it works, too. You just find a game or a show you want to go to. You pick your seating area. You name the ticket price, and you get your answer. I've done this. I put in a Yankee game, and I even looked at WWE stuff just to find out. I'm just curious, and because you can get all that stuff right there on ScoreBig. It's really cool. It's very, very fast. They got an awesome website. I mean, again, saving up to 40% on tickets to events that go unsold or stuff like that. Even events that most people think are sold out. You know, there's a lot of times offered hundreds and hundreds of that, or even thousands, I should say, of tickets left over. So, you know, Score Big has all that information for you on their website. They do a great job on this thing. You basically, you go to scorebig.com. It's all in there. I mean, big events, big games, anything. You name a ticket price. I mean, it's great. Any type of percentage, you can save up to 60%. As I said, that's pretty legit. I mean, and most customers average on a 40% saving off the box office price. That's big in itself. You score big in itself. So, again, really fast, good website, fun website to spend some time on. So next time you want tickets, think big and save big and score big at scorebig.com. I'll tell you what was big was this match that Kevin Owens and John Cena had for the U.S. title. It was big and it was bad, bad in a good way. Look, we saw these guys at the last pay-per-view tear it up. And, you know, Kevin Owens, some say it was shocking that he beat John Cena, and he did. But at Money in the Bank, a little different situation here. Same situation in regards to how great this match was. Physicality, again, these guys upped their game. I didn't think they'd be able to get a better match than they even had the last time, because that last match was amazing. Yo, this one was just as good, if not better. I mean, there was an insane amount of false finishes in this match. I mean, I don't even remember how many there were. The physical story was told the right way by both these cats. They both did a great job. I really, really enjoyed this match. The live audience there in Columbus was going absolutely batshit throughout this whole match. It just goes to show you, when you get two guys like John Cena and Kevin Owens. Now, for me, as a guy who's wrestled for many years and been a trainer for many years and been a color commentator and analyst for many years, I've been in this business since I broke in 1987. I'm telling you all that for a reason. Say, basically, I've been around, right? Here's the thing. I never, ever on paper would think that these two guys would have good chemistry. I really don't think they would have a good match. Like, when I first heard about the first match we're going to have, I'm like, all right, well, they built it up good on Raw, but I don't know if these two guys would have a good match. And they proved me wrong at the last show as I talked about how great that match was. And to turn it around and have another match and top that last one, that's so hard to do, guys. I can't explain you. Anybody out there listening to this that's wrestled at a high enough level and wrestled on a full-time schedule knows what I'm saying. It's tough to top a great match you've had once before with a guy, especially with that quick turnaround they had. I mean, I know I've had in my career like a lot of good matches with Sabu. Sabu and I knew it. And every time we'd have a great match, we'd hug it out in the locker room and say, great job, thank you. And, man, hopefully we don't have to do this again, because I don't know how we're going to top it. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but those are kind of some of the things that you talk about behind the scenes. Like, how do you top that match again? And I have to say, both these men did that again. They did it. They topped the last match. Back to the false finish thing. I mean, there were so many different points in this match where either guy you thought was going to win the match, hence the term false finish. And it ends up that, let me backtrack. When that happens, especially, what was this, like, I don't know, fourth, fifth match in the card, there's still other matches to come. That's, that's tough, because it kind of could take, the audience is involved, engaged in the match, and you run the risk of taking the audience out of the rest of the show, which I kind of think happened on Money in the Bank last night, because the U.S. title match was just such an exciting match, an exuberant match, and all these false finishes, that the rest of the card was good athleticism and wrestling and commentary. Everything was cool. It's just that the audience kind of, I don't want to say they checked out, but they were kind of spent, because they let it all out there, the audience, in that U.S. title match with Owens and Cena. It was that good of a match. The false finishes can do that. They set that tone to make the people go crazy. Constantly go crazy, and pop on spots. Oh, he almost got him. Oh, that was two. Oh, my God, he almost got him. Oh, he's got him now. No, he don't have him. All of that stuff leads to, once the match is over and these guys put a lot of time in, the audience is kind of checked out at that point. And I think that kind of happened a little bit last night inadvertently. That's just my opinion. At the very end of it, John Cena wins the match. And at the end of it, well, we did see why. I got a point in one spot. I just remembered when Kevin Owens did the five knuckles shuffle. We did that. The place went crazy. That was actually pretty cool. Very sarcastic. Just stole the guy's move. Did it just like him. And then later on, John Cena did it. Like, hey, I'm the original dude. I'm doing it to you now. So both those spots were cool. It kind of reinvigorates the five knuckles shuffle. When a newer guy in WWE or NXT, like a Kevin Owens who's hot right now, comes up and does the five knuckle shuffle to the originator of the move, it gives you another shot in the arm. It's pretty cool. It was a good spot, good time to do that match. Whoever the agent was and these two guys that work in the match did a good job of placing that. Cena wins the match, okay? Cena wins the match, and then you see a turn. Basically, Cena goes to shake hands, show respect. It was a good moment because people were respecting Owens. Owens sold it the right way. Everything after the 1-2-3, the whole nine yards. Cena, you know, got his pomp and circumstance to a degree. And then he looked at Kevin Owens. They looked at each other and he said, "You're the man," whatever the hell he said to him. They shake hands. And I'm like, well, I got hooked. I'm like, they're not going to have, you know, Owens turn on him here. It's just cool. It's just a respect thing. I think that's pretty cool. Even though they've been bringing up Owens as the straight-up strong heel. Sure enough, boot in the belly, there it is. Kevin Owens turns on Cena, in essence, maybe turns the wrong word, but he beats him up. Gets his heat back, as we say in the business. He gets his heat back because he lost the match. And he leaves with the heat the right way, laughing his ass off in the aisle, does Kevin Owens. They've been building Kevin Owens as a dirty heel. Nasty, dirty heel who's scumbag-esque. Beats up his friends, beats he don't care about nobody. His kid loves John Cena, and he's beating up his kid's hero. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's heat. It's good heat. It's smart heat by the WWE on a guy like Cena that's like a cult hero. People love, not Cena, I'm sorry, a guy like Owens that's a cult hero. People love him, and John Cena's public enemy number one. So, I mean, it's good heat by the company on Kevin Owens. It'll be interesting to see on Raw tonight how they react. And if you listen to this after Raw, well, then you know how they reacted. So, I just think it's really smart, good heat that the way he got his heat back. And then the internet blows up. Like, oh my God, I want to cancel my WWE subscription to the network. Kevin Owens, he lost. They're burying Kevin Owens. John Cena beat him. The office loves John Cena. They hate Kevin Owens. Oh, shut up. Stop. Please. There's nothing wrong with this. Give me a break. He's a heel, Kevin Owens. He lost a match. Big deal. He got his heat back on a giant stage against a mega star in the WWE and a household name in John Cena. Give me a break. Nothing wrong with him losing to John Cena. There's nothing wrong with him losing to anybody. Got his heat back. It's all good. I don't think Kevin Owens is bitching right now. I wouldn't be if I was him. I don't know what he's doing, but I wouldn't bitch if I was him. Shit, man, that's good. Stop complaining. There's nothing to complain about here with this. Trust me. So, other thing before the match, which I thought was kind of ironic, it was weird. They're in Columbus, Ohio, which I think is like the middle of the United States. I'm not a geography major, but I believe it's right in the middle of the map there, the U.S. Nations, the United States, I should say. And Columbus, Ohio, then Owens holds up the NXT title, plays pops and cheers, and then Cena holds up the U.S. title and they boo. They did this twice. They cheer when Owens holds up his title. They boo when Cena holds up the U.S. title. It was kind of weird. I know they're not booing the United States title or the United States. I know that. It made me laugh how much heat Cena has that they're booing an American in the United States against a Canadian, and he's holding the United States as the American, United States belt as the American's holding, and he holds up and they're booing and they're cheering for the Canadian. That just goes to show you how much heat John has as the babyface and how much over the heel is in Kevin Owens, which leads to my point of why they had to have him get the heat that he got at the end of it. People are not going to remember that John Cena beat him. They're going to remember that John Cena was left laying by the heat that Kevin Owens put on him. Trust me, that's the big picture. You know, so now, you know, if you move on in the show now I'm thinking to myself, good gosh, how are they going to follow that match? What is the WWE going to do to follow that match? You know, because it's tough now. You know, now it's what are you going to do? And they ran some packaging, did some stuff. Then they did an on-camera with Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and JBL. And they threw to a Dusty Rhodes video package, which was not only an amazing package, I tweeted about it, how awesome it was and how great the production team in Stamford, Connecticut captures emotion. And how just watching this package on Dusty Rhodes too, it just looked like not only a great career this man has had, but how much fun it looked like Dusty Rhodes was having. All those matches and promos and stuff he's done with Dustin and Cody, his sons, and stuff like that. And just, you know, being inducted in the Hall of Fame and all the NWA stuff and You know, see him in an NWO shirt. I mean, all this cool stuff, you know. I mean, just all the fun. It just, the fun fell right off my laptop. I was watching this. The fun just jumped off at you. The fun that Dusty Rhodes had. And it's just an amazing, substantial, insane career that this great, great competitor, great performer had. It was just awesome production work. Just tip my cap, hence why I tweeted about it. I thought it was awesome. From a business production TV show standpoint, excellent spot to put this package on the great Dusty Rhodes after this amazing U.S. title match with Kevin Owens and John Cena. Because in a spot like this, and I've talked about match layouts and how you match make and how to book a card, you know, usually here the Divas might be a good spot, or if you're in TNA, the Knockouts or Girls or whatever, it's a good spot. It's a different style match, a different style of entertainment. This is different. They ran a package that definitely pulls at your heartstrings because it's legitimate, and how great this package was done and how it was placed and how great Dusty Rhodes was, obviously, and his legend and his history. It was well done. Well, just smart to put that package where they put it. It was great. And then they went into the primetime players. They worked the New Day. You know, good match. Guys all worked hard. Crown New. Tough spot again for these guys, right? Even though they came after the package, but it's still the last physical match Columbus, Ohio was watching, and us as fans at home on the internet, on WWE Network, we saw the U.S. title match. And now the next physical match is primetime players versus New Day for the tag team titles. New Day comes in as champs. They leave as not champs. Primetime players capture the gold. Titus O'Neil turned it up. Darren Young, these guys, congrats to these guys. Good job. I mean, I enjoyed the match. Thought it was good stuff. You know, and then, you know, you go to your main event, this ladder deal with the title with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. And it's tough here. It's a tough spot, you know. Even though they had some time in between that U.S. title match, I keep going back to that U.S. title match. It's just, you know, it's tough to follow that. I mean, but how do you put the U.S. title match as the main event when you have the world WWE title being defended? So I thought the men worked hard in the match, you know, meaning Rollins and Dean Ambrose liked the match. No heat on the match from my point of view. I thought it was cool. I thought the motivational promo that Triple H cut in Rollins' face was awesome. Before the match, that was great. That got me engaged in it more. That seemed like it was impromptu. I don't know if that was written in the show, but that seemed like, let's do something a little extra special here. So have Hunter just cut this hard promo to motivate this kid to go in there and turn it up and prove to everybody how great he is, meaning Rollins. So, I mean, that's basically my breakdown of the Money in the Bank. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to take a quick break. Come right back. Taz Tales is back, baby. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about my man, Mike Adamly. Stay tuned.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Oh, so you think we do this show for free?
Yes.
No. Time to pay the bills. All right, let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So it's June, and the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. Won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
Boys and girls, pull up your stools. It is now time for Taz Tales.
All right, here you go. So you want Taz Tales back? It's back. And one of the craziest times in my career, and that's not an overstatement, folks, was when I was paired up with Mike Adamly. I'm in the WWE, And I, you know, we were doing so many shows from SmackDown, Raw, ECW, the rebirth of ECW by the WWE, not the original. All this stuff was going on, and I remember the first time I met Mike Adamly was at Madison Square Garden at a WWE pay-per-view. I'm bad with years, guys. I apologize. Don't beat me up on dates and years. It was during a pay-per-view, the pay-per-view where Mike Adamly basically debuted, and he called Jeff Harvey, I believe. He called JBL JLB, right? So, all of these screw-ups. But anyway, I met him early in the day, and I knew who he was because he played for Northwestern. He was a good college football player. Great athlete. I knew him from the Superstar Show, whatever it was that he was the announcer on. I knew he played for the Chicago Bears. I knew he was an NFL guy. He was a running back. I knew all that stuff about him. I knew he was a great athlete. I knew him from NBC as being a broadcaster and all this stuff. And I meet him at the Garden Show, the pay-per-view. Super over-the-top nice guy. He was so nice to all the talent. First time aboard. And they're doing a rehearsal with him, and I think it was Jeff Hardy, I almost called him Harvey, Jeff Hardy, and he screwed it up, like he screwed his name up a couple of times, and I don't know, for some reason they wanted to do it live, I guess, I don't know, and then he screwed it up again live, but, and it was like borderline comical, like, wow, I thought this guy was smooth, and I guess not, and then I don't know how it all happened. Look, you know, several weeks go by, and now they're going to make him do play-by-play on the ECW show, while Joey Styles and I was doing the color commentary, and Joey was doing the play-by-play, and I could be off a little bit on the logistics and the timing, as I said, because I do all this, especially Taz Tell, I do off the cuff, so I'm just sitting there rapping with you guys, so I don't write this crap down, I just go on my memory, which is horrible. So, I remember the important stuff, let's put it that way. So, what happens is, I remember the on-camera where it was like Joey, we were live doing the ECW show, and Joey basically, you know, on air, meets Adamly or hands him over to me, and Adamly's there on the air, and I'm like, and then the Joe kind of segues out of the whole thing as we go on, as the weeks evolve or whatever, and now I'm working with Adamly as a team. He's the play-by-play, I'm the caller. Good God, it was just so tough. It was a friggin' nightmare for me. Now, this is the weird part. It wasn't that I didn't like Mike, because I actually like Mike a lot. I actually feel bad that I fell out of touch with Mike. He's actually a good guy, like really nice guy, one of those guys you pull for. I think he was in over his head. He was overly stressed out over this, and he just wasn't his expertise. You know, I mean, I felt like they put Mike in this role because, oh, man, he could run cross-country. The guy's in great shape. He's 60 years old. Okay, that's not really a reason to make him a live play-by-play guy, right? But, you know, that's what I heard, that's what Vince liked about him. That he knew him a lot of years, and he was in great shape. Okay? So, you know, and he was an on-air guy. But it got to a point where it was comical backstage, including the office. And Vince McMahon, they just thought it was funny, like a car wreck. You knew the car was going to crash. You had to watch it. And everybody thought this was hilarious. Backstage, everyone loved when he would do play-by-play with me. Everybody thought it was funny, except me. Because I was the guy who was trying to make this show a show and call the show the right way. That over time, it just became like, I couldn't, no matter what I could do, it just, the guy was in over his head. He sucked at it. He just really was bad. And then I'm thinking, I went to Vince once. After about, I don't know, shoot, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever the hell it was of this, and I pulled him aside in catering. I said, Vince, can we talk? He goes, yeah, what's up? I go, listen, this whole Mike Adam thing. He goes, oh, my God, you guys are great. Like that, right? I go, great. He goes, oh, it's hilarious, Taz. I go, no, but Vince, I'm not knocking Mike. I just don't, how long are you going to do this? I don't want to, you don't have to answer to me, but I'm trying to entertain people and, you know, bring credibility and get over the talent. Obviously, that's my number one job. Taz, that's great. Don't worry. It's entertaining. And look, on the bright side, you're becoming a really good play-by-play guy. And we laughed because that's what was happening. I was doing play-by-play and color for the most part because he, you know, he had a breaks. He couldn't throw the breaks, couldn't throw the packages, couldn't throw. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it's, then after he's, oh, all right, pal, it's great. And he slaps you on the back and walks away. And I'm like, oh, okay, that was really productive. So, but it was just like, it was, we would shoot the, we would do the ECW gimmick before Raws. I think it was before Raws. It was on Mondays. Or was it Tuesdays? Again, I'm sorry. I forget. But, and everyone would just jump on that monitor to watch it and listen on those speakers backstage to hear what Mike was going to say or how I was going to react to Mike. And it just was just over the top, insane, stressful for me because I was used to working with, you know, the Michael Coles and the Jim Rosses and the Joey Styles, or even during that, even before that, Todd Grisham, Jonathan Coachman, you know, pros. These guys are pros. You know, guys who knew the business, guys that were on the spot, Johnny on the spot, were calling stuff. Now I'm with Mike Adamly, who was just like a deer in the headlights. You know, it was very, very tough. But the funniest, now I can laugh at it, was the end of it, for the most part. We were in Atlantic City, and we are doing a live ECW broadcast and on TV, and we are getting ready for the main event, and Chavo Guerrero was in the main event, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who he was wrestling, and Vince McMahon was, you know, in our ears here and there, and with Mike Adamly, he wouldn't, like, talk to Mike that much because he didn't want to stress him out more. He just wanted Mike just to fly on his own. So he would talk to me, like, trying to pry him, but in a funny way. Like, Vince was actually, in that regard of producing, he was actually very funny. And you would just hear Vince laughing on the headsets, like, ah, this is great! And I'm, like, dying on live TV, like, I'm not laughing. I'm not having fun right now. So, excuse me. So we're in Atlantic City doing this live show. Build up to this main event with Chavo Guerrero, and I don't remember who he's wrestling. Chavo's, I'm like just about 100% sure it was Chavo's entrance. I don't remember where. You guys could find it on YouTube, and I know you're going to correct me because I'm probably wrong. And next thing I know, Mike Adamly, while I'm talking about the entrance, just takes his headsets off, puts them on the desk, exits stage left. There was a little, by the guardrail, a little opening for the announcers to leave. Security was there, and they're walking Mike. I'm like, I never had that happen in my life where my partner just left in the middle of a live show. I'm like, all right. About 4 seconds later, Vince knows. Now I'm like, what the hell's going on? Vince says, we test. Just put your headsets down and go follow him. And I can't talk back to Vince because you guys were here at home. He goes, just follow him. Just trust me. Just go. All right. I'm getting pulled off the air. Now I'm hot. We're really hot. Security's waiting for me. I follow Mike and his security guard and get backstage, and I see Bruce Pritchard there, and I go, Bruce, what the F is going on, dude? I'm red hot. Adamly looks like, you know, he's ready to, like, blow his head off or something. Adamly's not mad. He's just nervous. And Bruce goes, Taz, relax. Both of you guys come with me. We're going to go to Vince's office. We'll figure it all out. Don't worry about it. It's cool. Just stay calm. Everything's good. Everything's good. Just pull me off live TV. You know, everything's not good. I'm hot. I didn't do anything wrong. He goes, that's not you. I go, I know that, but shit. So we go in Vince's office. Vince comes in. He just starts laughing. He goes, oh, that was great. Oh, man, it was great. I'm like, what? Now, Adam is not sitting where I go, Vince, what was great? Did something go wrong? Did we do something wrong? No, I'm just trying something. Just trying something. We're going to figure something out. It's going to be cool. It's going to be good. Don't worry. It's all good. I go, what do we do about next week? We're going to be like, oh, just don't worry. We'll come on the air. We'll figure it out. Okay. Show up the next week. I mean, I'm driving home from Atlantic City. I forgot. I ain't got to wait for a plane. I got to go to a hotel. I'll go home early. Whatever. No problem. It's all good. Come back next week. Nothing. Like nothing happened. So, it was just the craziest time of my announcing career during the Mike Adamly years. It was just nuts. I don't even know what to say. I mean, and then somehow he just disappeared from working with me. And I don't know. Everything went crazy. But that was basically with Mike Adamly. I liked the guy. It was tough to work with him. He would get with me during the day. He was really diligent on working, putting his prep in. And he was nervous. He would say to me, Taz, I know you're trying to be patient with me. I know. I go, I am. Mike, it's all good, dude. Don't worry about it. He goes, oh, I'll get it. I know. And he was so cool about it. But good God, it was tough to work with him in that regard from a professional standpoint. So that was really the dealio with Mike Adamly. I know a lot of you guys thought it was very entertaining during those times, too, because I would read stuff online. So I wasn't having the fun that all you guys were and the folks backstage at WWE. I could promise you that. I wasn't having that same amount of fun. I'm just letting you know that. So... So that's the deal. So there's your Taz tale, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. The Mike Adamly years. I would love to have him on this podcast because people always ask, you got to have Adamly. Not always. I'm getting a lot of tweets here and there about Adamly. I'm going to try and search him out or something like that. If anybody knows his Twitter handle, if he has one, send it to me. I don't know what he's doing right now. I'd love to have him on the show, even though you guys know I'm not huge into the whole guest thing. I do have guests on, but it's not like the end-all be-all of me, like some other podcasts. They're all about the guest. I'm not. If I have someone I want to talk to that want to talk to me, it's good stuff for you guys to hear. It's enlightening or whatever, entertaining, then we'll have them on. Otherwise, I'm not living and dying by the guest thing. But I digress. All right, look, there's your Taz tale. We're right back to wrap this bad boy up. I'm Taz. Sit tight.
The Human Podcast Machine.
Break time!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. Welcome back right here to the Human Podcast Stream. I am Taz, and I want to thank you that you downloaded and or subscribed to me here, checked out this episode, the breakdown, my opinion of the Money in the Bank that we witnessed, all the stuff that went down, the WWE Big Money in the Bank show. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Gave you a little Taz tale, brought back, talked a little bit about Mike Adamly, that maniac that he was. So hope you guys enjoyed it. And sit tight, dropping more shows this week. You know how that works. Not sure if we got any guests lined up. Going to work on that, maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. You're going to get shows regardless. And that's really the deal. Again, thank you guys. The show's growing rapidly. Everything's going awesome. Can't complain. I know there's a lot of chatter about Taz Live. What's going on? I keep saying, stay tuned. That's all I can say right now. But I can promise, I'm pretty sure good things are coming. Let's just leave it at that. All right? And then, I think that's about it. Look, that's it. Again, thank you for downloading and checking it out. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I am Taz. You are not. See ya.